You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Trailblazers look abysmal in a loss to the Hornets, but there's more problems going on underneath the surface for these Blazers. Welcome to the Blazer Focus Podcast. I'm Aaron Fentress of The Oregonian / OregonLive.com, and I'm joined by Craig Burnback. It's been a minute. We lost touch during All-Star break a little bit and some logistical things, but here we are back. And man, we're back, you know, catching up on a Blazers team that's lost eight in a row, that just looked horrible against the fourth worst team in the league, the Charlotte Hornets, last night, losing 93-80. Is that what it was? I can't even remember, to be honest with you. It was bad. It wasn't pretty. I sat the whole thing just in amazement that a team could shoot that poorly. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you have bad nights, and this team right now is built to have bad nights. But let's just dive right into this, Craig. Let's just get into it, because the last time we talked, you were going on and on about how Cronin should not be saying this team is on the right track and he's happy with where they are. And since you said that, they still haven't won. Now, when they the eight games they've lost, three have come to Denver and two have come to Minnesota. That's five losses to two of the best teams in the league. And they were actually all respectable losses in that the Blazers were sort of in it to a certain point, and they were completely overmatched. You knew they were going to lose, but at least they fought. But still, eight games in a row is eight games in a row, injuries or not. But what I know you're dying to just give me your take on what you took away from last night against the Hornets. So go.
Well, it was horrible. Both teams were horrible. Let's be honest. They're not good. The Hornets are 15-42 now. And
they've won five out of six.
Yeah, in their last game out against a decent team, they barely scored 80 points again. They barely scored 80. So, and scored less than 34 in the half. I mean, the Blazers scored 34 points in a half. I'm like, nowadays, that's a low scoring quarter. You know, like, you look around the league and the other scores and you're like, and to be honest, they made three threes, but two were an absolute garbage time.
Yeah, they were 1-for-26 and then tacked on a couple late.
They saved historical awfulness by hitting two, you know, nobody cares threes.
Right.
It was a terrible game. Look, my whole thing is you can't be happy with that. That's it. Just be honest about it. You can't be happy with the product you put out last night or in the last eight games or this season, because it's not interesting. You know, without Scoot playing and Sharp playing, like, and that's Malcolm, the whole reason for the season, right? I mean, that's it. And so when both of them aren't playing, you're like, okay, what do I sink my teeth into in watching this game? And there wasn't much. It was ugly. They lost, which in the end is good, right? The more ping pong balls, the better.
They're now a half game ahead. They're now only a half game ahead of Charlotte for the fourth worst record.
Yep. Right. I mean, and anything else that you watched last night to me didn't matter. I mean, Simons had one of his worst games he's ever had. I mean, 4-for-21. He played an entire game, 35 minutes at the lead guard. Well, we won't call him a point guard, right? I'll be nice, even though he was the point guard last night. He had no assists. Like, that's hard to do. That is hard to do. To start at lead guard, play 35 minutes, and not have an assist. Now, admittedly, when your team goes 3-for-32 from three, they're missing. Like, it's not all bad.
That's not on him. That's not on him.
Well, zero is, but not all of it, right? Like, Yes, it's hard to get zero assists playing 35 minutes at any position. Like at any position
but
on the floor.
But that's because
like
other people are, that's because other people around you are going to make baskets. You have to someone has to make a basket to get an assist. So it's not necessarily on the guy for having zero assists when the rest of the team shot horribly. That's all. Awesome.
He shot 4 for 21, 0 for 8, 10 points, 35 minutes. He had zero assists, 4 turnovers. It's a really, really awful night.
Of course. I'm just not blaming him for the assists. But go ahead.
So, you know, that. But who cares, right? Like, what does it matter? We know his talent. Ayton went off again.
Ayton was
great. 26 and 19. Well done. But he was still plus, he was still minus 8, you know, like, because the team was so bad. And really, does that matter? I mean, that's what I'm watching for. Like, why did last night's game matter? And if you're a fan, you want to watch something that matters.
Right.
And if you're, and if you like and you're rooting for the franchise, you want to be interested and engaged about this future that Joe Cronin's talking about. And last night, there wasn't that. I mean, he started Kamara and Murray, which are, you know, two rookies that were taken in late in the first and in the second round in a trade, but they were terrible. So that wasn't great, you know, like, but, you know, for Murray, he got a career high 9 rebounds because he's never played 33 minutes before. So, but that's where I'm at with this. Like, that's why I'm saying what, like, last night's an example of why I just say there's no way that the franchise, anybody with this franchise should say we're happy where we are. It doesn't mean I think he's done an abysmal job or I'm piling on. It's just the reality of the situation to kind of own up to it.
I hear you. So, okay. 34 points and a half was tied for 7th worst this season with and their own performance against in the second half against Milwaukee. At Milwaukee is among those 7. It was their lowest 3-point shooting percentage of the season.
Of course.
Before that, it had been 18.2, and that was against Chicago. This obviously was their lowest. Their 80 points were 2nd fewest this season for them, coming behind the 77 they scored at Oklahoma City when they lost 139-77. So, okay. So from the Blazers' standpoint, Billups and Anthony talked about this, that it was just one of those nights. Billups said he felt really good about the defense, but again, Charlotte's not that good, especially with LaMelo out. He said that his team definitely showed fight, that which could be found in the 22 offensive rebounds that led to 20 second chance points. If it hadn't, I mean, obviously with all those bricks they were throwing up, there was a ton of offensive rebounds to be had, but they did get 22 of them and they converted those into 20 second chance points to not have an instant blowout. They did battle to within 5 and then all of a sudden 14-0 run blew it open again. There's been nights this year where Ant and Grant played well and everyone else was bad. Tonight was one of those nights where those two were 1 of 14 combined on threes, did not play well, and everyone else played poorly except for Ayton. So, you know, Billups and Ant said they both felt like they got good looks. And I felt like, you know, I didn't feel like they were really struggling to get shots. They were just struggling to get shots in. So you could say they actually did things X's and O's wise and hustle wise on at least an average level, and the shots just weren't falling. However, this team is ripe for that kind of stuff because they rank 29th in scoring, last in field goal percentage at 43.8, 28th in 3-point shooting, 34.8, and last in true shooting at 54.1. 3 of their top 5 scorers, Sharp, Brogdon, and Scoot, were out. And that forces them to lean on the younger players or the bench guys like Matisse Thybulle, Delano, Tumani, Jabari, and Murray. And they were all a combined 0 for 14 from beyond the arc. And if you're any team in the NBA, you're going to be happy with all those guys shooting threes, right? Shoot all the threes you want. So for me, and this circles back to what you just said about not being happy. For me, what we're seeing as the season goes along is that these forwards who in little spots, little spurts, show well and everyone's all excited about them, as they're playing more, they're being exposed more. And right now, you cannot convince me that Kamara, Murray, and Walker are on the path to be legitimate rotation guys for a winning team. I'm not saying they're not going to be there. I'm not saying they're not going to get there. I'm not saying they're not working hard. I'm just saying we saw Walker start and he looked good for a minute and then boom, he wasn't starting. We saw Kamara start. He looked okay. Then boom, he wasn't starting. Then Kamara's back in. He's not doing anything. And then they're going to start Chris Murray. And Chris Murray isn't really doing anything. So these three young forwards that people are so excited about are not coming through at all when it comes to at least contributing to winning games. And I'm not talking about beating the Timberwolves or beating the Nuggets. I'm just talking about beating the Hornets, beating the Wizards, beating that team. So for me, that's where I'm alarmed, because you're not getting anything really from these guys consistently. And then, of course, Scoot is still struggling with consistency. So is Shaden. So of these young guys you have, who really has stepped up to show, okay, that guy is a future pillar, other than probably Shaden to a certain degree. And of course, there's a lot of talent in Scoot. That's why he was drafted third. But anyway, it's just a mess. And come on, starting Chris Murray at the two, and Chauncey's like, who else am I going to start? Well, start Matisse. You know, starting Chris Murray at the two just doesn't make any sense to me. But again, they're experimenting, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, it's just...
They're also, those two guys, Kamara and Murray, are 23. So right. It's not the same. You know, like, they're 23. They're old rookies for the NBA.
Right.
So... they don't have a long window. And they're not a lot of 27, year old rookies like Duop, in the NBA, like getting it done. Like, if you don't get it done at 23 and 24, you're probably done. You're not going to be in a rotation because people are going to try the 20-year-old or the 21-year-old or the 22-year-old or the 23-year-old. So, like, their window of contributing and growth is really now. Like, you can't just say, well, they're young. Because of course they are, and they don't have a lot of experience, but their bodies are developed to 23. You could still get stronger, of course. I mean,
their
CJ
runway's a lot shorter, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously CJ and Dame came in as older, guys after playing 4 years, and they certainly developed their bodies. But there's that. But I mean, like, there's just little things. Like, 2008 was the last time Charlotte won in Portland. Like, those are the kind of things you just don't want to happen, right? Like, with all the stuff that's gone on in the Blazers since 2008, they hadn't lost to they were the Bobcats when they won here. Like,
literally.
Yes, 2008. Like, that's not the kind of thing that you can be happy about. And yes, they got it within five, but you're like, yeah, you got within five to one of the worst teams in the NBA playing on your home court. And then they blew your doors off. Like, they were destroyed. What Denver's done.
They called a timeout, came out, and went on a huge run up 20 like that. And they had been up 20 all game. And all of a sudden, boom, they're up 20.
All year. I mean, like, this isn't a good team, but you saw things that, Miller looks, you see those things when he drills a three and he shoots 38% from three. You're like, okay, that guy's 6'8", 6'9", playing that position and hitting threes.
I'm glad you brought him up, because I was thinking about that last night. I was like, you are seeing the difference between a young, talented forward who's probably going to be a star and showing you flashes of being that, and Portland's young forwards that everyone's all giddy, not everyone, but people are giddy about, who aren't even remotely close to his level. And so we know that Murray, Walker, Rupert, Kamara are never going to be on the level of that guy. And those are the guys you need if you ever really want to win. Excuse me. So at the most, you're hoping that these young guys become at least good backups, but you got to have impact wings. And none of them are.
And your two starters, because we have seen signs from Sharp, though he's probably a two, not a three.
Absolutely.
But now we can't, because he's hurt. And now Scoot's hurt.
Right.
And it's all like,
it's a mess.
This is all the time, the development. So that's the frustrating part, is that you can watch the game and say, what am I looking forward to tonight?
Right.
And it's not going to be the win and loss. So, like you mentioned, Kamara gave you like glimpses of like, woohoo, right? And you're like, look at this. This guy, they got him in that trade and yay, and he's playing great. And,
he was playing okay. He was never playing great.
No, but I mean, for defensively, he was playing great. For a guy you didn't expect to play at all, right? I mean, I'm just saying
he was never playing great.
Okay. You're right. I mean, I'm being too optimistic here. And when you drafted Murray, you late in the first, you look at his brother and you start thinking, well, they're twins, right? Like, you know, there's hope here and everyone, but you watch him shoot. You're like, oh, that's different. Like, that's not a shot that I think is going to be going in consistently. Like when he makes it, you're like, oh, so you're left rooting for Dua, you know, like, and you're like, okay, we've got this guy that we just signed and read that. You got your ninth man. Like, that's what we've gotten from this season right now is your ninth man. Like, you feel good. Like, I think that was a good low contract. The guy's a great story. And
he's a 10th man when Williams comes back.
Well, I'm being nice.
So, on Kamara.
He could play the four. He could play the four.
On Kamara, 112 defensive rating is solid, especially with this team. So, I'll give you solid to good, not great. Offensive rating, 106. He's a negative six rating. But again, a rookie, like you said, like I don't believe either one of us are trying to be overly critical of these guys. But again, you're looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, I would say right now, is that so far to this point, the year of development has been a complete bust. Either guys have been too hurt, too inconsistent. You're not seeing nearly enough out of the so-called building blocks. You know, Shaden, as much as Shaden has looked, because he's so physically gifted, he's had long stretches where he doesn't shoot well. He shoots poorly. He had one little 7 or 8 game burst where he was amazing. And other than that, not so much. So,
and you hope that's the injury because we know he's playing hurt. So you hope that's the injury. But here's what you're not going to get better sitting, you know, right now in his career, like not even being able to practice. So you get better shooting. And now Scoot is not going to get better sitting. And at this point, the season was lost when they started, but now they're not even getting the gains. So
right, exactly.
That's tough.
So sharp on a season, 40.6% from the field, 33% on threes. Those are all dramatically down from last season. So again, more minutes, more time, bigger numbers because of the minutes and time, but the efficiency fell off huge. And that's a concern. And I wanted to see him in the second half, so to speak, play like he did last year when he shot 47%, 36 on threes. So, you know, I'm not worried about him because I do think he's going to be spectacular. He's only about to turn 21, I think, or maybe he is 21. But you wanted to see more.
Right, but it's another year of hope.
Right.
It's not a year of seeing the dividends.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. So I don't know, man. It's bad, bro.
I mean, the one thing that has been much better recently other than one terrible game is Dominating has been, you know, playing really well.
Yeah.
I mean, last night, huge numbers. You do worry about the numbers being just numbers because, right, they got, you know.
And your opponent.
They lost 8 straight. And, yeah, look at the Hornets. You know, there's
Nick Richards is decent, you know, but he's not formidable.
Yeah, but he's not.
But Aiden had a nice game against Jokic, 22 and 10, I think, something like that. Looking it up right here.
He's been solid, other than the one stinker where he like had 2 points.
Minnesota, yeah, that was
no rebounds. That was really ugly. But you know, what does it mean? I don't know. Because all that matters with him is he going to be part of the future? We know he can dominate. You know, I was listening to the radio because that's what I do, and they're like, you know, he's been a double-double machine lately. I'm like, yeah, like, duh. He averaged a double-double, 18 and 10 for the Suns. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you expect. You know, this is a double-double machine. Yeah, the guy you traded.
Exactly. Like, a double-double for a big is like, I mean, first of all, rebounds are super easy today. If you're 7 foot, you should get 10 rebounds.
When you miss 40 shots, you know, there's more.
Well, but the other teams are so spread out, there's hardly anyone to battle for a rebound underneath. It's not like you're banging down there with Lambeer, Sally, and Rodman, right? You're banging down there with one dude because everyone's so spread out. So you should get double-digit rebounds. That does not impress me at all for a 6'11 guy. And the points, I mean, 18 points, I mean, he has a high shooting percentage, but is he going to ever be reliable to put up 25 and 19 in a playoff game? That's my question. Is he going to hit the key shots? Is he going to be as aggressive as he was when he knows there's not a big that can really stay with him? But regardless, I mean, 22 and 10, we talked about 22 and 16, 18 and 17, 27 and 9, 20 and 11, and then 26, 19. Those are the games he's had in the last 10 games. Yep. So we are seeing some payoff there. But again, it's in games where you know they're going to lose and there's nothing on the line. So I still
wonder. And we'll talk a little bit about watchability for this team in a bit. He's not anything fantastic to watch. You know, I mean, his best shot's the 12-footer. And, yeah, he dunks every once in a while. But, you know, I mean, he's not –
But did you see when he went like – I think he went behind the back of his legs.
He did.
Like and then he pulled it up. Like, that was – I was like, whoa. Where's that? I want to see one of those per game. I want to see one of those and then, you know, you kind of get a little deep but not give up your dribble and then drive past the guy. Like, that was a flash of seeing a special player is what I'm saying. But do that more often.
Yeah. But with Sharp, you could get that. You got that every night, even when he was shooting 12%. You know, he was going to do something that was going to be like, whoa, he just tried to dunk over three people. He didn't get there, but he tried, and maybe he'll get there next time. Even Scoot, you know, has shown those flashes of going down the lane and dunking or a beautiful pass or breaking an ankle. I'm just saying, he's a center. He plays like an old school center. And that's not the most – look, I grew up Patrick Ewing.
Like Patrick, you know, he's just like
King Patrick Ewing. Or yeah, I mean, except Patrick was a much better shooter. But and he did dominate.
I was poking the bear. Saying, like, I was poking the bear on that.
That wasn't – you know, the dream shake was – like nowadays, the dream shake wouldn't be – it would be a daydream shake. It wouldn't be that exciting, you know. Like, it was a great move. But the league has changed where your expectations are a little bit different from the – you know, so much threes, so much dunking, but hey, you can't complain about, you know, his numbers, and he can't, you know, carry this team to victory. He's the center that doesn't handle the ball. So when he goes off and does what he does and gets 19 rebounds and 26 points, shoots 11 for 16, you're like, yep, that's thank you. Well done. You're not the problem tonight. But you just said it, like, is he going to be the guy that does that during a playoff game? Well, we're so far removed from that. Like, do we see him? Do we see the Blazers even having him? And is he going to be 40? You know, like, at what point? You know what I mean? Like, this team's not turning in 2 years right now. Like, the corner has not, they haven't reached the bottom. I mean, they're right now, the battle's going to be how many ping pong balls are they going to get, and then go from there. And does Ayton over the offseason go, hey, look, man, I'm 26. You know, I mean, let's be honest, you're better off.
You know, they can't trade him. I don't think they can get Ayton.
I think they could trade anybody but Sharp at this point. You know, like,
no, I'm saying really don't think they could get anything worth giving up on him.
$30 million is a lot of money.
True, but you got to go at least another year, I think, with him. Like, there's certain things that have to hit. You got to give it more time, or this whole thing's going to be a disaster. Scoot and Ayton are the top two. Those guys, you got to give that more time, or you're admitting that everything you did was for naught in relationship to Damian. Before we move on to, let's skip Chauncey to the Hall and go to the TV ratings thing, because I know you're chomping the bit to that. But I want to make one point that you kind of brought this up with the forwards about others coming in. They have two first round picks right now, their own, which is going to be a high pick, which has to be a big. Like, it has to be a forward, right? Has to be. There's no, if they draft another guard,
or above.
Fire everybody.
6'7" or above.
They draft another guard, fire everybody. Okay, I don't care how good the guard is. Trade down or something, fire.
Trade down.
So when that forward comes in, he's going to be the priority over every last one of these guys that people have been touting, right? And then you have the Warriors pick. I guess that could be a guard. But I know, I'm just saying, you're going to if you draft another forward for a lottery pick, it might not be a lottery pick, but it's going to be a middle first round pick probably. That's going to be a priority. And then you're going to bring in two second rounders. That could be anything. But unless you trade these picks, you're bringing in four young cats. Well, that means some other young cats got to move, right? You can't have seven second rounders in development, right? So at some point, something's going to give with some of these guys. And right now, none of them have demonstrated that they're absolute keepers. Because when given minutes, and against bad teams, they're not stepping up. And that's just not a good sign.
And you can't just keep picking down low.
No.
You know, in the second round. And if Golden State's pick is a late first rounder, like, you know, you take the lottery pick, but at some point in time, you got to try to turn some of these assets into people, you know, actual players. Because all you're going to get from these, I mean, Chris Murray's a great example. You got a first round draft pick. He's 20. He was drafted in the 20s. He's not drafted in the 30s or the 40s. And this is what you get. you know, it's harder to hit down there. And to be honest, that's where teams can just rock it. I mean, Jokic, like that guy, you hit the lottery on a guy that wasn't even a first round draft pick.
Right.
But they're so few and far between. Like we still go back to, you know, to Green with the Warriors. Like the guy's almost, you know, he's 35. Like, but we still think about that as being the hit because he was a second round pick. It's just not even the Jimmy Butlers of the world that weren't lottery picks or whatever. But at some point in time, you got to get players that have proven themselves that are on the young end of it. And how you do that means you have to give stuff up, right? And that's why I say Ayton or your guy Simon. Like at some point in time, you got to make a commitment to a window. I mean, right now, they have yet to commit to a window of time because you have two point guards. You have two lead guards that are in there. And then your other best young player is also a guard, as you mentioned. So I'm with you. I just can't. If they draft four guys next year, like that's not – like that's remix. Like that's the remix, especially if three of them are low, you know, second rounders or low first.
Yeah. Ideally, you trade Malcolm in a pick for something. But anyway, we'll see. All right. So – clearly, when I go to these games, I see a lot of empty seats, which makes sense, given that the team's not very good and that there really isn't a guy that, you know, makes you go, oh, I got to go to the Blazers game to see this dude. They haven't, you know, Chauncey talked about earlier not having an alpha, and they don't. You know, Ant, you hope, becomes that, but Ant has been kind of up and down and hurt a lot. And they're just not a fun watch, really, especially with Scoot and Shaden out. So I get it when I see a lot of empty seats. But apparently, they're also having a lot of empty eyeballs on TV sets, for lack of a better example there. And people are not watching the games. Craig, break it down, bro.
Well, you know, it came out last week that their ratings are down 49%, which is the biggest drop in the NBA. Well, the rest of the NBA is up and the Blazers are down. Of course, we know the Blazers – Comcast put Root Sports on a different tier. So it's a higher paying tier. So that's an impact.
So I'm seeing $18 a month is what I'm seeing as a higher tier. Is that what you've seen too?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something
I just
like
pay them. I'm silly. They got me.
I'm about to cut the cord. Fubo. Anyway, go ahead.
I got to think about it.
I'm doing it, so I'll let you know.
Because
it goes.
Of live sports. Well, I mean, admittedly, we'll get off, but what? Pac-12 Network is a big reason why I kept it, and Root Sports is a big reason why I kept it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of going down that route as well, especially with a young kid that's watching all the stuff on the, you know, on the streaming. I love the Yankees. I get them on the MLB, you know. But I want to be competent for the podcast, so I keep watching the games, you know. But they're hard. Right. They're hard to watch. So, yeah, there's that. But as we mentioned – you and I were before we started here is like, it's similar to tickets for games. Yes. When you raise prices on tickets or you raise prices on watching the games, it's going to hurt you, but right. It's really going to hurt you when the product's not as good. Right. Like you got out of the tickets, not because they raised the prices, but because you're like, no one's going to want to buy them and I won't be able to sell them because no one wants to come. And it's similar. Like, there's not – like, why would you watch – like, watching last night, if you're even a Blazer fan, there you don't need to see that. You're not going to miss anything amazing. Like, even when – you know, obviously Damian came in on a weird time because they had already gotten there. But, like, when Brandon Roy and LaMarcus came and they were bad, you had the future and you saw it and you were as pumped.
Right.
Now, like, the future's on the bench because they're hurt, and they've been hurt all year. And your best players are Simons, Grant, and Ayton. Your most exciting player is Simons, and he's a three-point shooter who's not awesome with the dribble. Like, he won the slam dunk contest, and he had a nice dunk last night to beat the shot clock, but he's not, you know, that dynamic of like, oh my. So I get it why it's down, and they're going to have, you know, they're going to have to work on the product as far as getting off of Root or figuring that part out. Because more accessibility for games is what people are doing. These you know, we don't have to tell you about the Comcast sports channels and the other ones that didn't work out. So there's going to be realignment when it comes to where you're going to get your product. But until 49% is not because they switched tiers. It's because the product's not as good.
So I talked to the president of business operations, Dwayne Hankins, about this. And he blamed it mainly on the changing in tiers. But it's like sort of what came first, right? The chicken or the egg. I agree with you 100%. The change in tiers is definitely a huge factor.
Yes.
But mainly because you traded away the most popular and arguably greatest player of all time, and the product is bad. So why am I watching this if I don't have the draw of Damian? Like there's no player on this team that fans universally love. There isn't one.
Not yet.
There's players yet. Fans like and they want to love, but nothing on the level of CJ and Dame. They're gone. So then the product better be good, or at least if you're not winning, you're exciting and you can see the potential. And right now, if you're being honest, you can't see the potential. I mean, you can see a glimmer of potential. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I don't believe for a second, and I told you this at the beginning of the season, that my over-under for players in the rotation who will be on in the rotation when this team makes the postseason is 4.5. Because I do believe that hardly anyone on this team is still going to be here when they become, you know, formidable. So if that's the case, why am I paying more? Why am I watching it all? Especially when Scoot and Shaden are out. But even when they're playing, other than the occasional Shaden dunk, it's like, what am I watching?
This is a team that, you know, made the playoffs every year for a decade.
Eight straight, right?
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, I'm stretching it. But you know what I mean? Like they were, and the biggest complaint was they were good, but not great.
Right.
Well, that's not the complaint now. I'm just saying like that. So there's that. But you always knew Dame could score 50 or have a magical night. And, you know, Dame time's fun to watch, man. Like he that's real.
Right.
And even Brandon Roy, super, you know, exciting game. I mean, you watch the games and I sympathize with the promo people for Root and Blazers Broadcasting because they are trying to update. They've been great at that, Blazers Broadcasting, always. Like, if something happened the night before, they're right back with it.
Right.
They've got the one game winner from Simons, a runner in the lane. You know, like, they went with the two dunks back to back as their other thing because they just don't have it. Dame gives you something every week, you know what I mean? Like where he was hitting the game winner, yelling, you know, Rip City. Those are moments you didn't want to miss. Yeah, you know, LaMarcus was – people are like, well, he's boring because he's a mid-range game, but he was still really good and an all-star. And right now this team doesn't even have one of the young faces.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, you hope. But yeah, the league doesn't even know about Sharp. You know, like he hasn't. Scoot's got a great personality. He has the potential to do it all in this league, but he's got to get better. And it's not there yet. So yeah, I mean, you're not going to spend $20 extra a month to watch this team unless you're a diehard. So,
and then the diehards are at some of these games. It's impressive. Like even last night, they were cheering. They were fired up when they came back. And it's like, wow, man, these guys care. They love their team. But as soon as that 14-0 run happened, they're out. They were gone. They were disappointed.
The last game against Denver, they're down like 10. And the crowd is still trying to get people to miss free throws. And I'm like, good for – I mean, that's awesome. Like the game was over, and they still were pushing it. And we know – Trailblazer fans are amazing. But, you know, they're also got stuff to do. You know, they can hike. They can go see other stuff. There's movies. But, I mean, people pay for HBO to watch The Sopranos. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
HBO is constantly having to know that they have to have that signature show. Because if not, people will stop watching HBO, right? I mean, like, right. If Sopranos goes, you're like, oh, okay, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Well, this is the last season. You know they're out. Like, we need a signature show. You know, we need to.
Or let's do Game of Thrones again.
You know, I mean, Harry Potter 17 or whatever it is. But, I mean, like, that's part of it. Right. It's all you know, marketing people have to deal with that. And right now they just don't have a lot to showcase. I mean, they're trying to go like these young guys are battling, you know, here and there. But you know, there's just not a lot to, you know, to hang your coat on or True. Your hat. I don't think you hang your coat.
All right. Chauncey, is he going to make the Hall or what? What do you think?
You know, the Basketball Hall of Fame is odd, right?
It's so,
you know,
odd. When,
you know, you look at it and it's never, it's not, it's, you know, you get in from all over. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I, you know, he's a finalist, so sure. And I'm fine. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think he's right on that cusp, right? Of the, if you look at just numbers and didn't experience his playing, but you're like, huh, I don't know. But he was a really good defensive player. And he was, they called him Big, you know, there's a reason why he's called Big Shot. You know what I mean? Like he, Mr. Big Shot, because he made huge shots and he won a title. So I think he has all the elements of a Hall of Famer other than statistics that nowadays, if you look at his stats compared to, I mean, Trey Young is killing him. You know, if you just look at stats, he's, you know, he's going to the Hall of Fame. But who do you want? Who do you want in game, you know, seven of an NBA Finals? You want Young or Billups? I'm taking Billups all day.
Oh, all day, yeah. Billups is going to lock down Young and score on Young at will.
Or so, let somebody else.
Or let somebody else. Is there a limit in how many they allow in every year, do you know?
I don't know that one. I don't think so.
So when I look at the players on the finalist list, there's only two that for me are in his tier, and that's Vince. I mean, Vince is number one. And then you got Walter Davis, who's a six-time All-Star, Billups. And then Michael Cooper. You know, that show, I love Cooper Loop. I love Cooper. So I was an old-school Laker guy, Magic fan. But come on, he's a Hall of Fame. He's on the Hall of Fame finalist list? Really? I mean, that's like Wes Welker getting into the Hall of Fame. It's like, come on. he did some nice things, but come on. You're going to put Wes Welker in the same building as Jerry Rice and Randy Moss and, you know, Tim Brown. I guess it doesn't make any sense. Charles Smith, and that's your boy. Really? Charles Smith? I saw him.
Make a layup and he's in.
blocked again.
Don't do it.
One of the greatest moments of my Bulls fandom. So, but yeah, Charles Smith. Okay, let's look at this. 14 points, 6 rebounds, all rookie team. That's it. He's a finalist. First of all, they need an NBA Hall of Fame. I know they factor in college and overseas and stuff like that. Yep. But regardless,
that's the other part that's difficult.
Yeah. The bottom line is Billups is going to get in. Is it going to be this year? I don't know, because I don't know if there's a limit. I was trying to look it up. I can't find anything on it. But 5-time All-Star, NBA champion, finals MVP. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I think it's going to be this time around. But who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. He's the second best player. I mean, Walter Davis is really good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so.
The Greyhound, man. I loved Walter Davis when I was a kid.
It's hard to believe he's not in yet, you know? So, and with you wonder.
No championship, that's why.
Yeah.
Championships accelerate. Like, if he played, he played in the, what?
Early 70s, 80s. Yeah. 80s,
so, right? Let's say he had been on the Lakers instead of Byron Scott. Walter Davis has a couple rings. He's already in a long time ago. But he played on the Suns, yes. And they lost to the Lakers a lot. And so he doesn't have that championship or playoff type, you know. But 6-time All-Star, 2 times All-NBA. I mean, Maurice Cheeks is in. Walter Davis should be in. I was surprised Cheeks got in. But he got in partly because he won titles with Doc and Karl Malone.
Yep.
But he was a 4-time All-Star, 5-time All-Defensive, though. Got to give him credit for that. But, you know, he averaged, what, 14 points a game for his career, if that.
11, Different 11 time po- for point guards.
11.7 assists per game was his average. And he's in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is wild. So, but yes.
Again, point guards were very different then.
They were 11 points different. Hall of Famers like Isaiah and Magic scored more than 11. That's my point. Walt, you know, who was Walt Davis's point guard? Was it
Fat Lever at Westfall, some point, right?
Westfall? Westfall was the point, right? Paul Westfall?
You're a little older than me.
Stop it.
But you're right. I mean, Mo Cheek's numbers are – they're not – I mean, if he's in, Chauncey's in.
100%.
Yeah, if you're making that comparison, it's not –
Yeah, there's no way Chauncey's not going to get in. It's impossible. based on who's in. Tony Kukoc is in. I'm a Bulls fan, and I don't get why Tony Kukoc.
International.
He only played internationally for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but he did great things.
Yeah, I mean, like he did some things, but would you agree? I don't think he's in if he didn't play for the Bulls. I don't believe for a second he's in if he doesn't have three championships.
Well, we wouldn't even know who he was.
Exactly. That's my point. So winning some championships, which Billups did as a finals MVP, he's going to be in. So, and Vince Carter is obviously a lot. So anyway.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Vince Carter's, he's
one of the greatest players that never won a title.
Yeah.
Easily.
And he also just, he was the face of the game for a while, you know, like he really did bridge after Michael to, you know, what he did with the, you know, high flying and still, I mean, the greatest dunker I ever saw was Vince Carter. And I know Michael was amazing, but and he dunked over Vice, like, oof, that was the Knicks pick. I was like, oh, he's not going to play in the NBA like that. If you watch the NBA slam dunk contest, what Michael did was just so, you know, it's because they brought it back and you hadn't seen it. But if you watch what Vince did, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And he stayed in the league for 400 years and learned how to be a role player, which is really difficult.
Extended his career. So, all right. Lastly, we talked about all the things that are wrong with this team. Do we have any hope that these things are going to turn around in the next 2 months? We can see a stretch.
They don't want them to.
Well, no, I mean, winning, they don't want to win, but you still want to show flashes of like, okay, this team has some pieces that could be, you know, really good. And, that's what I'm hoping for. It's just give me like a 10 game stretch. I mean, there's only 20 something left, right? But give me an 8 to 10 game stretch when Scoot comes back where you just see these guys play well together. You see nights where Grant, Ayton, Sharp's back or not, Ant and Scoot all play well together at the same time. A couple of the young guys fill in and play well. Like, just give me an 8-game stretch like that. They can lose every game. It doesn't matter. But it's just been disheartening, I think, for them, and even for me covering this team and trying to make sense of anything, for the injuries to pop up all the time and them never being able to have a stretch of games where you can say, okay, there's promise. And that just hasn't been. And that's one of the reasons why you said there's no reason why anyone should be happy with where things are, because nothing has been demonstrated as being concretely positive moving forward. So that's all I want to see. Plus, it'll keep me awake on press row.
So if Scoot's got to come back, you know, if Scoot doesn't come back, Sharp's not going to come back probably. And that's what I want to see. That's what, you know, him to have a 10 game stretch that, you know, maybe like watching again, he comes back and he's even more aggressive and he's shooting a little better and he's, you know, the pick and roll with Ayton is working, but you know, they're not very good and it's hard for him to be very good. I mean, I feel like if you know, Brogdon came back, they played Thibel more. Ayton plays really well. Simons is decent and Grant is good. They're going to win, you know, they can win 4 out of 10 because those are NBA players.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's a starting five of NBA players.
I mean, yeah.
Will they know? Because they're not going to want that. And that's not helpful. You know, seeing Brogdon play isn't helpful. Seeing Ayton play is, you know, nice if he's playing really well. I don't know. This has been a bad year for Simons. This has not been a fun, you know, he's been hurt. He's been inconsistent. I know, you know, he's got, he had a kid. So that's awesome for his life. But as far as his career, this, how is this a, you know, this isn't something he's going to look back and be like, oh, what a great year that was.
No.
I mean, last year they lost a lot of games, but once he kind of took over, you're like, oh boy, you know, like this is, you know, he proved what he could do, won a slam dunk contest and, you know, in his career. So this year, I don't see what Simons can, I don't know how Simons could play off this team and be really well, except for one day, instead of going 0-for-8, he goes 7-for-8. Which could happen because he's that good a shooter at times. Yeah. But right now, he's, you know, I don't know what – I don't see you getting a stretch of 10 games where you're like, okay, I just hope you see a little bit here. Maybe – I mean, I'm just shocked. Like, Kamara hasn't had a, you know, 20-point game, you know, where he's found a rhythm. Or Murray go 4-for-6 from 3, you know, like something to say, oh, boy. But will that – I don't even know if that matters. In the sense that, like you said, they need to get better at every position. And these guys are probably fighting for role, you know, possibly being role players in the NBA.
Right. Exactly. All right. That's it. The Blazers got Miami on Tuesday. Is Tyler Hero going to come in here and drop 50? On a team that didn't want him. Or is he hurt? I think he got hurt. If he doesn't play tomorrow, I've been looking forward to this. I wanted to see him come
in
here.
He hurt his knee. He hurt his knee and he left early. And then there's a suspension, too, of Butler. So we don't know who's going
to
be playing.
Okay, that's another thing that's driving me nuts. It's one thing to be covering this team with guys in and out of the lineup. But when I go see Blazers Pelicans, I want to see Zion. When I go see Blazers Charlotte, I want to see LaMelo. When I go see the Heat tomorrow, I want to see Butler and Hero. I said, sorry, LaMelo for Charlotte. I want to see the stars coming to town. And too often, they're out, which is driving me nuts. He's going. Oh,
yeah, because they know they can win without him.
Shoot, he's not going to. He's not going to play. So Hero's not going to play. Damn it!
All right, sign off before you get too angry.
All right, all right. Thanks for listening to the Blazer Focus podcast. We appreciate it. Click that subscribe button and give us a positive rating, and we would appreciate it. And we'll try to continue making sense of the season as we move forward. Take care. Talk or see you next time.